Who has a plan where you can practice this positive quality today or in the next 2 days? You haven't, yeah? Okay, good. So, do you have some clear situation where you can practice it? It is most effective if you can picture some circumstances, some signal or some mark or some sign that reminds you that you have to practice this. It's almost like a pre-packed, pre-formed habit. If you insert a trigger that when this happens, I practice control of the mind or control of the senses or forgiveness or truthfulness. So think about the circumstance, specific circumstance or feeling. That sometimes may tempt you to not practice this good quality. And you can also write it down. You can write it down. So what can you select as a signal or a trigger that it's a time for you to practice this quality? Can you think of some circumstance or signal, sign, circumstance?
Excuses.
Huh?
Excuse.
For example, if I want to practice truthfulness, one instance where I fail to practice truthfulness when somebody is praising me. Then I accept it and I accept undue praise, right? So therefore for me in this case will be to practice truthfulness will be to be careful about the feeling of pride or satisfaction by being praised by somebody. So as soon as I feel this satisfaction, or somebody is praising me, so that for me should be a signal that I should be careful to be truthful. Okay, so something like this.
Yeah, I think I said my word, not the example, but I said excuse. For example, for me I'm fearlessness,
uh-huh.
And if Barak Prabhu asked me if I would like to give a lecture,
uh-huh.
Of course, I have many excuses.
Yes. Okay. I see. All right. Yes. Very good. Yeah. So please write down your trigger, your signal that will remind you to practice the positive quality. Okay, did you write it down? Okay, very good. So these are some of the subtle techniques of changing our behavior and life and consciousness. Effectively. Very good. So Krishna is saying here that all of these good qualities which he creates for us and which we have to develop from within ourselves are dependent on him. So we also need his mercy. So as with everything, we do all the endeavor, but we are doing it without the false ego. So we are doing it for his pleasure, expecting his mercy. And you can say, for example, austerity. How can I can do austerity if I decide that I want to do, you know, how is it dependent on Krishna? But of course, on one side we need strength to be given by Krishna. On the other side, there is also this funny story about one Brahmana who said, why does it say that everything depends on Govinda, on Govindaji? That was in Jaipur, and he said, so I could, you know, if I need, I can fast, so I will prove it. So tomorrow I will fast. I will fast the whole day tomorrow. So then in the morning he woke up, he started fasting, and then he thought, I better go out of the city so that there is no temptation and nobody, you know, no relatives, no friends. So he went out of the city. Then he went out of the city. And he went to the forest. He went to the forest, and then he decided, okay, let me hide myself so that, you know, nobody can find me. So he climbed a tree. He climbed a tree, and then under the tree, some people came for a picnic. And they were traveling, so they stopped for a picnic. So they started eating, and then they got scared by some tiger or something. So they ran away. They ran away, and all the food was left under the tree. So he's sitting there above the tree, above the food on the tree, and he's saying, "I'm fasting. I'm fasting." So all the food is done. And then some robbers are coming by, and some robbers, you know, they robbed somebody, and then they came to that part, and they, you know, started dividing, discussing, and then they see the food, and they say, "This is very funny. What is this? It's covered like just ready to be eaten, and nobody is here. This is very strange." And so they start looking around, and then they see somebody sitting in a tree. So they call him down and they say, what is this? He says, this is just some people were passing and they got scared by a tiger. They ran away. This is just nobody's food. And they said, so are you sure this is nobody's food? Are you sure this is good food? He says, yeah, I mean, the people were ready to eat. So then they say, maybe you're trying to poison us. Maybe it's a trap. Maybe you put this food to poison us. He said, no, I'm just accidentally. So then they said, what are you doing there in the tree? You know? How is it accidental? No, you are trying to trap us. So they pull out a sword and say, first you eat. And then after you eat, then we will see. If you eat and it's okay, then it's not poison. And so he said, oh, Govinda, even fasting I cannot do it without your permission, if you do not bless me. So everything depends on Krishna. We develop them, we practice them, but we need mercy, Krishna's mercy to actually succeed. Very good. Text 6. Let's chant text 6. Maharshaya sapta purve chatvaro manavastatha madbhava manasajata yesham lokaima praja. The 7 great sages, and before them the 4 other great sages and the manus, progenitors of mankind, come from me, born from my mind, and all the living beings populating the various planets descend from them. So that includes us. So here are our forefathers, great, 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 so many times grandfathers. So the seven famous sages. Now these are Bhrigu, Marichi, Atri, Pulaha, Pulastya, Kratu, Vasishta. This is the standard list. Karuna Rao Prabhu, is any one of them one of your ancestors? Do you belong to some of these? No? Bhrigu, Marichi, Atri, Pulaha, Pulastya. Well, I'm sure not Pulaha and Pulastya. Kratu and Vasishta. So these are the.
Bhrigu, maybe.
Very good. Okay. So, Balaji Vidyabhushan is saying that they are very powerful. So these are the seven sages, then four sages are the four Kumaras, then we have the Rudras, we have 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. So they have a great power, but their great power is coming from thinking of Krishna. So from their Krishna consciousness, as much as they meditate on Krishna, as much as they focus on Krishna and serve Krishna, to that extent they can manifest these amazing powers. They can become the Prajapatis, they can become the great sages, the demigods, the creators and so forth. So from Krishna consciousness. So again, they are not independent, it's coming from Krishna. And then why do we have to understand this? Why does Krishna tell us this? Verse 7, he gives the reason why do we need it. Eta vibhutim yogam cha mama yoveti tattvata so vikalpena yogena yujyate natra samsayah. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotional service. For of this there is no doubt. So, if we know this Vibhuti Yoga, this is the title of the chapter, Vibhuti Yoga. And the rest of the chapter will describe the Vibhutis. Vibhuti means special power, special opulence, special beauty. And so one who yoveti tattvataha, one who truly knows, is truly convinced, then if we accept this, if we accept that he is beyond intelligence, if we accept that he is the forefather of everything, if we accept what comes next, how he is manifest everywhere, how he is manifest around us, even in the water and even in the mind, even in intelligence, if we accept that, then we get pure bhakti. Then we get pure bhakti. Because it makes us confident. We trust him. We get trust that, you know, when we have, it's like, you know, when you have a friend and then you see his amazing qualities, and or when you it makes you attracted to the friend when you find out that he is a millionaire, or he has some very special powers and so forth. So Krishna is revealing some of his special powers. You know, like if you have a classmate that you were studying together in the school, and then you meet him in the city, and then you go for a walk, you go together and you talk with him, and you know it's nice. You had good time in the school. And then all of a sudden, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, and maybe you are in some, it's evening or the night, and you are in a dangerous area of the city. Although I think in Ljubljana you don't have dangerous areas. You still have? I think Slovenia is one of the safest places for. I know I was crossing a border, and there was one from Ukraine into Hungary, and one Ukrainian teaches judo somewhere in South Slovenia. So he says for the last how many years he never locks the car. He just leaves the car open. He says never, nobody ever. Of course, I think it's still better to lock the car. Because we see some instances, but imagine you are in some dangerous area, and then you are with this friend, and then he tells you that actually I am, you know, he asks what are you? You're saying I'm a Hare Krishna, and he's asking what are you? And he's saying that I am a chief of the police. I'm chief of, you know, in Ljubljana, or I am chief of the secret services. So then after that you feel much safer in that dark area. Yeah, when you find out, isn't it? You become all of a sudden you feel somehow closer to this person, you know, if you feel some attraction. Or if I You know, it's my first time I'm seeing Karuna Rao Prabhu, and if I ask and he says, well, Lakshmi Mittal is my brother-in-law, and you know Lakshmi Mittal, have you heard about Lakshmi Mittal? He's a multi-billionaire.
Richest man in the United Kingdom.
Yes. Then all of a sudden I will you know, being conditioned, I will pay more attention. I will think, oh, even though the real wealth is not, I mean, all this paper money is not real wealth, or would even this factor is real wealth, is bhakti. That's the real wealth and wisdom. And we can see, you know, this is why I like to live in India, because people are just happy. This is what you like. This is, you know, when you come to India, people are just happy. That, regardless, they are poor or rich, they are happy. They know how to be satisfied. They have wisdom. It's the real wealth. So Krishna is describing his wealth, opulences, so that we can, by being convinced of this, so we can surrender to him more easily, so we can think of him more easily, so we can focus on him more naturally. Any questions, comments on this? So what follows is the Chatur Shloki, which will precede the Vibhuti Yoga. So then we will have Arjuna coming into ecstasy when he hears Chatur Shloki, and then we will have Krishna describing, giving specific examples of how his opulence is manifest all around us. He gives 81 examples of his vibhutis in that chapter. This 10th chapter. So he from vibhutis, he starts explaining from text 19. From text 19, he starts explaining the specific examples of the vibhutis. Some specific examples. 81 examples. But now, actually, we are exactly in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. If you count to the first instruction of Krishna, 211, it's exactly 322 verses. And if you count to the end of the Bhagavad Gita, it's exactly 322 verses to the end. So it's 322 to the end, 322 to the beginning of Krishna's instructions. It's the exact middle of the Gita. And these four verses are called Chatushloki Gita. This is the whole Gita, or the whole knowledge in four verses. Chatushloki, Chatur means Shtiri, you know, four.
From 8 to 11?
Yeah. Chatushloki Gita. This is 10, 8 through 11. And you have 10:8. You have 10:8. You have Sambandhagyan, which means the reality. Sambandha, our connection. What is the reality? What is the ultimate truth? What is the ultimate reality? Sambandhagyan. Then ninth describes Abhidheya Gyan, or method. Method. This is ultimate, or process. Yeah. This is ultimate. Sambandha is ultimate reality. What's the ultimate reality? And the last two verses describe Prayojana, knowledge about the perfection. perfection. So you can see, So these three, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that all the Veda speaks only about these three things. And in fact, before any text, usually one has to state some of the things about the Shastra. So these are the three minimum things that have to be stated. Usually, sometimes, what you can also find is the candidate, who is the candidate who can understand this, and there can be also Rishi, Chanda, Devata, and so forth. But these three are the main ones. So, Sambandhagyan, so who are you, who is Krishna, what is this world? Sambandhagyan, if you remember, we had this mystical triangle, which includes all knowledge. If you understand this, you understand everything. So this is Chit, Achit, and Ishvara, matter, God, and Jiva. So these three tattvas are all that actually exists, and Jiva is bound by karma. So these are the five topics of the Gita. And matter is controlled by time, kala. And Jiva is becoming saved by bhakti. So this is the mystic triangle which entails the whole knowledge. We discussed this several times in the course of the years. So let's chant verse 8.
Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita.
I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. This is such a beautiful verse. This one verse, actually, this was the verse I was when I was in that fever and feeling I'm dying. This was the verse that was removing all the pain and all the doubts and was giving complete peace to me. This is the verse which can cure every disease, actually. I'm not afraid to. Can you translate this? Ten ta vers lahko uzdravi se bolezni. Yes. Stanford University says that most of our diseases are caused by stress. Because in stress, when we are in stress, then the cells of the body stop renewing themselves, cleaning themselves, and restoring themselves. So immunity is switched off. Stress switches off the immunity. So when you are angry at somebody, or insulted, or when you don't forgive somebody, or when you are impatient, what you do, basically, you put the body is stupid, it's just an animal. So the body thinks, okay, it's danger, stress. And what happens, then it switches from the renewal mode to the survival mode, which means that the cells stop, the immunity is switched off. Just like, for example, when if this were some military fortress or something, if we are attacked, then under attack, if there are bullets flying and somebody is shooting, then will you sweep the floor? Will you water the plants? You will just try to hide, and you will just try to survive. So in the same way, stress puts the body in that survival mode, and the cells stop renewing themselves. Whereas if the person is able to remove, to change the consciousness to remove stress, then there is no disease which cannot be cured by the body itself. Every disease is self-curable by immunity. We already have all the medicines inside. We are just, like in Ayurveda speaks about ama, toxins. So toxins means that the cells are not taking it out, that it's accumulating in the body, right? And if you're free from stress, if everything is functioning normally, then immunity can cure incurable diseases, diseases which have no known cure and which have very short life expectation. Like, I don't know, there are so many amazing cases about this, how people get cured from totally deadly diseases with huge tumors and something, some other things, just by changing their consciousness. So this is the perfect verse which will... Why are we in stress? We are in stress. In fact, why am I in stress? Because I'm in stress because I think I'm the controller. So if something is not under my control, I'm stressed. I'm in stress because I think I'm the enjoyer. And everything is mine. At least my things are mine. And I'm in stress because I think I must be number one. So everybody should like me. These are three main areas. And of course survival. Survival, and the fifth underlying is envy of Krishna, trying to be one or separate, either one with Krishna or separate from Krishna, so some kind of envy with Krishna. So these are the beliefs that actually cause all stress, isn't it? This is the foundation of all the stress. So this is the verse which cures all of this, if we actually accept it. Sambandhagyan. Because Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. So sometimes people wonder why Krishna says these two similar things. Like in the translation you see that I'm the source and everything emanates from me. There is a subtle difference between these two. That I am the source means that everything is mine. Ja sam izvir, pa meni da sve je moje. And matah sarvam pravartate means that everything is operated by me. If you translate this more technically, everything is operated by me. So Krishna means that Krishna is the enjoyer and Krishna is the controller. Because you have a large number of religious people who accept only one half of this. They are called deists. That became very popular in the 17th and 18th century. You have Protestants, many Protestants in Christianity. They are the founders of America, the fathers of American Constitution, Jefferson and the others. You can see them on the dollar bills. They are... they were deists, and that meant that they think that God created things like a watchmaker. He created the watch, he wound it up, and then he went away. And he doesn't care. He's aloof. You know, he's neutral. He's not. He doesn't involve himself. Doesn't interfere in any way. He's far away, or that Krishna is playing with the gopis and then we are here just, on our own, Krishna doesn't have time, he has too much fun with the gopis. But Krishna says, no, not only I'm the source, I'm also the operator. For me to raise my hand, Krishna has to be involved. this is the Upanishad. Keneshitam patati preshitam. By whom? These are such beautiful, verses. This is Kena Upanishad. Kena Upanishad actually means Kena in Sanskrit means by whom. Sorry, I want to find the. These are such beautiful words. Om keneshitam padati preshitam manaha kena prana pradama praiti yukta keneshitam vachamimam vadanti chakshu srotram kaudevo yunakti srotrasya srotram manaso manoyat vacho havacham sau pranasya pranaha chakshushas Chakshuratimuchyadhiraha pretyasmal lokadamrita bhavanti. By whom pushed things move? By whom spoken things sound? By whom seen? Yeah. Who is the eye? Who is the ear? They say that he is the eye of the, he is the ear of the ear, he is the mind of the mind, he is the word, he is the speech of the speech, he is the life of the life, he is prana of the prana. And by going above the earthly eye and reaching the eye of him, dhira, the sober, the self-controlled, balanced persons, achieve amrita, achieve the nectar of immortality. So this is, we cannot, so he is operating everything, even for me to say something, even for you to see, you know, it's not that I see you and you see me, no. Krishna sees you and he conveys the picture to me. And Krishna hears me and he conveys the sound to you, the soul. That's how it happens. So, in every second he is involved, everything is provided by him and operated by him. And that means that if we pray, he can become involved. He can help us. We can pray to him. Of course, the devotee doesn't ask for anything material, but everything is coming from him. So if we understand this, then, itimatva, so buddha, those who are buddha, those who are intelligent, itimatva, understanding this, that everything is coming from him and controlled by him, itimatva, understanding this, they, buddha, bhava samanvita, they are immersed in ecstasy, bhajante, and they worship me. So if you understand this, we become peaceful, we become bhava, bhava samanvita, we become immersed in ecstasy. What stress? You know, it's ecstasy. Vishwam purna sukhayate, the whole world is full of bliss and happiness. You know, because it's my friend who is behind everything and who is the enjoyer and controller of everything. And what remains for me to do? Just worship him. Lovingly, bhava samanvita. Not because you know you must worship. If you don't worship, you suffer. So therefore, okay, you know, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Because otherwise, you will. You know. No, bhava samanvita in ecstasy. So let's.
Can you send us this?
Matta. In Sanskrit, actually, in Sanskrit, it's something like, matta, from me, od kogar, yeah. So, actually, as far as I understand, it's ablative. It's a case or sklon which is not available in, you already lost this, but it's closest, it's between genitive and instrumental, between orodnik and
odchodnik.
Odchodnik. Okay. Yeah. Bhakti Shastri. Yes. So this is, and in philosophy we know there are two causes. So this verse 8 speaks about two causes. Well, Krishna is the ingredient cause or material cause? But material, you know, in philosophy is called material because he's the material from which everything is made. So this is, but because we have this negative connotation about material, so we can say ingredient cause. He's the ingredients. So he's the owner and he's the enjoyer. So that means he's the enjoyer, right? Because it's his, therefore he is the enjoyer. So this is one cause, and the other one is efficient cause. It's called efficient cause, material and efficient cause, or the, to make it simpler, operator cause. Or cause, or this means the controller. The controller of everything. So Krishna is both. He is both the owner and the controller. So therefore, you know, because this and this, therefore the conclusion from this is wise, you know, the wise people, they who know this, wise know that, and therefore they worship Krishna with love. That my supreme friend is, I mean, all of this is coming from my supreme friend, and it belongs to my supreme friend and is controlled by my supreme friend. So with love they worship the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada quotes different sources. He quotes the Upanishads, he quotes the Smriti, Mahabharat, he quotes the Puranas to confirm this. This is not just Krishna's statement, but this is authorized statement from the Puranas. Any more questions on this? Questions, comments? So this is the basis. Sambandhagyan is the basis of everything else. Before doing anything, we want to know the reality. What is the reality? What is the ultimate truth? With whom we are connected? What is the who is the cause? Who is the ultimate cause of everything? And if we really accept it, if we really get it into our heart, then we worship Krishna with love, ecstatic love. Now, how do we worship?
That's the Shishirada, Madan, Mohan are the deities for Sambandha.
Yes.
What does it mean?
That he is the deity. What does it mean, or what?
I just heard it.
Yeah, there are three deities.
For Sambandha, what does it mean? How to explain it?
You can pray to them. Madan Mohan means one who Madan is maddening, one who maddens one. And this is the god of love. But Krishna is Madan Mohan. He charms the maddening love god. So we are mad after material things, but Krishna charms that desire and attracts that desire to himself. So therefore, he can connect us. He can break the madness and connect us to the ultimate reality, to himself. So that's why he's called Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan. And Govindaji, Radha Govinda, is the deity of Abhideya, the process, and Gopinath is the deity of Prayojana.
Any special also explanation of these two?
Govindaji.
To understand, I mean, to describe.
Govindaji, well, Gopinath, he's the lord of the gopis, so he's enjoying with the gopis, that's the goal, right? And Govindaji, one who gives happiness to the senses. One who gives happiness to the senses. And in bhakti, even the process is the process of joy. Even engaging in the method. Actually, what is the method? The method.
Huh? It's also the goal.
Yes. And what we are practicing is bhakti. And bhakti is when you are doing something for Krishna happily. Right? When you are happy to do something for Krishna. So when you want to do something for Krishna, that means you are happy when you are doing something for Krishna.
So the method is the
deity? Radha Govinda, yes. Rupa Goswami. And you can see that Radha Govinda was established by Rupa Goswami, who gives nectar of devotion, nectar of instruction to show how to do. And Radha Mohan by Sanatan Goswami, who gives us knowledge about Sambandha in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and books like this. So it's connected. Gopinath, Radha Gopinath. Shri Radha Madan Mohan. And then this is Govinda. And this is Radha Gopinath. These are the deities. Okay, text 9. So how do we worship Krishna? Let's chant text 9. Matchita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayanta shamam nityam tushyanti charamanticham. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is the process. So you matchita smaranam, you remember about Krishna, you think about Krishna. Then madgata prana, so you work for Krishna, you do something with your body for Krishna. Then bodhayanta, so you are hearing, bodhayanta parasparam. So we are talking to each other, we are hearing about Krishna, we hear hearing Krishna katha. At kathayanta shamam nityam, we also speak. So we hear and speak. So you have shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, you have the nine you have the main processes of bhakti mentioned here. So this is and then tushyanti charamanti cha, they are relishing and experiencing bliss. Tushyanti charamanticha. Srila Prabhupada gives two examples here, two striking examples, how one is enjoying with Krishna. One is like fish. So a devotee cannot be without Krishna, like fish cannot be without water. And the other example is still quite a striking example. It's from Rupa Goswami, it's a famous verse. Yuvati nam yatha yoni yunau cha yuvatam yatha mano bhiramate tadvat mano me ramatam tvai.
Yes.
which Prabhupada says, thus the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. So for, you know, a young boy and a girl, or, and even a, an old boy and an old girl, it's very natural. It's very natural to be, of course nowadays, you know, what's young and what's old. They say 50 is the, you know, as they say 50 is the new 30, yes? Sri Srinath says that officially, I read this last year, that until 45 you are young. Then till 65 it's middle age. And then after 65 that's already old age. So that's Sri Srinath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation in the 10th canto. 10th canto, I think.
For which age? I mean,
well, that was just 200 years ago that he wrote this. So it apparently, you know, we have this idea that they were, you know, dying young, but that's what Sri Srinath wrote 200 years ago in Vrindavan. Yes, so these are two. So just like fish cannot live without water, or a young boy and girl take pleasure in association, this way, that's how a devotee is attracted to Krishna Katha. That's how a devotee is attracted to hearing and speaking about Krishna. That's the process. This is the process. So part of the process is being happy. Prabhupada is, you know, it's very famous, yeah? Yeah. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and be happy. Very important. Of course, sometimes it's chant Hare Krishna and takes many years. And then be happy when you do it right. And be happy. But this is the part of the process, Dushyanticha, Ramanticha. Because what do we want? We want to make Krishna happy. We want to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. And if this is our desires, then it involves happiness in the act itself. You know, when if you're doing something to please somebody, then you are happy to do this. If you actually do this to please somebody, you're happy to do the thing. Otherwise, you're not doing this to please the person. You do this out of some other reason, out of duty or out of whatever, or to get something from this person. But if you want to please the person, you're happy when you're already doing this, even before you have offered. You're already happy. You're doing this with happiness. You know, like you want to please with your cooking, you want to please somebody with your cooking, then you know that this person likes this, and you're cooking, and you're already happy. You say, oh, he will eat this, I will do like this, I will put a little bit more spice like that, and he will be very happy. You're already happy doing this, in the process. So being happy is part of the process. And it's one of the rules of yoga. Five yamas. So five niyamas: purity, austerity, and santosha, shaucha, tapa, purity, austerity, tapasya, and santosha, satisfaction. Zadovolnost. And zadovolnost, you can say?
It's creation.
Okay, so the worst. Yes. Studying scripture and worshipping and surrendering to the Lord. These are the five rules of yoga, five niyamas. From purity you get detachment. From tapasya you get clear senses and sharp senses. Can you say ostrachute? Then from santosha, from satisfaction you get bliss, yes. and this is an austerity, you know, being satisfied, it's an austerity. Be content, yes. It's an austerity. We have to tell ourselves, I'm satisfied with this. The mind says, no, you know. You say, no, I'm satisfied with this. This is our decision. It's our decision. I'm satisfied. This is good. And Swadhyaya, studying the Shastra, the result of this is you get closer to Krishna, to your Ishtadev. And Ishvara Pranidam, immediately Samadhi. Immediately gets perfection.
What do we get by cleanliness?
Detachment. Surrender to Ishvara Pranidam. That's Patanjali Yoga Sutra, 5. I mean, they are universal, but these are the minimum 5. So these are the rules. So I like to joke, like, especially in Germany, it's very funny, because in Germany they are very dutiful, you know? Pflicht. Man muss seine Pflicht tun. You know? You have to follow your Pflicht, duty. So I tell them that you must be satisfied. This is your duty. You must be satisfied. I think in Slovenia also there is a strong sense of duty, so we can joke this, apply this joke also here. You must be satisfied.
In Germany it's more disciplined.
Yeah, very disciplined. But Slovenians also are very disciplined. And so remember, this is the rule. Being satisfied is the rule of yoga. But in bhakti, it's very natural. When you want to please Krishna, then you are naturally happy. Okay. Who has a Croatian? Sorry, Croatian. Who has a Slovenian Bhagavad Gita? You have. You have Slovenian here?
No, English.
English. Can you please read the second paragraph very loudly?
Nine.
Text 9, yes. Yeah, devet, yeah. Second paragraph, yes.
Na začetni stopni in transcendentalno zadovoljstvo daje samo služenje Gospodu, na zreli stopni pa bhakte dejansko ljubijo Boga. Ko se dvignejo na transcendentalno raven, dosežejo najvišjo popolnost in uživajo v blaženosti, v kakršni uživa Gospod v svojem prebivališču. Gospod Čaitanja primerja transcendentalno dano služenje s semenom, posejanim v srce živega bitja. V univerzumu je nešteto živih bitij, ki se selijo z planeta na planet, le nekaj izmed njih pa ima to srečo, da sreča čistega bhakto, ki jih poučijo v danem služenju. V dano služenje je podobno semenu, posejanem v srce živega bitja. Če živo bitje posluša in poje mantro Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Seme v danega služenja usklije, kakor ob rednem zalivanju usklije seme drevesa. Duhovna rastlina v danega služenja raste vse više in više ter predre prekrivalo materialnega univerzuma in vstopi v bliščeči Brahma Jyoti, v duhovnem nebu. Tam še naprej raste in doseže najvišji planet Goloko Vrindavan, Krišnovo najvišje pribavilišče. Na tem planetu poišče zaveti Krišnovih lotosovih stopal in ostane v njem. Kakor druge rastline, tudi ta rastlina v danega služenja po določenem času cveti in obrodi sadove. Bhakta pa jo takrat s petjem in poslušanjem o Gospodu še naprej zaliva. Popoln opis rastline v danega služenja najdemo v Čitanja Čaritamriti, Mada je Lila 19. poglavje, tam je rečeno, da bhakto, potem ko je cela rastlina v zavetju lotosovih stopal vsevišnjega Gospoda, popolnoma prepravi ljubezen do Boga. Takrat se ne more niti za trenutek ločiti od vsevišnjega Gospoda, kako riba ne more živeti brez vode. Tako povezan z vsevišnjo božansko osebnostjo, razvija transcendentalne oblike.
Thank you. So we are in the agricultural, horticultural business of growing the plant of devotional service in the heart. So it's you know, it's private farming. We have a private farm in the heart, self-sustainable, and we have to water this plant. How do we water? With loving chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By hearing about Krishna, all the nine processes, we are watering. And then it grows and grows. And when the yogis are trying to raise Kundalini, and it goes through different levels, through different planes of this universe also. But for a devotee, the plant of devotional service is growing and also is passing through different stages, different platforms of consciousness until it reaches Krishna's feet. And then it blossoms, and that's when you experience unlimited spiritual ecstasy. What to speak when you get the fruit of Krishna Prema, devotional service. So, this is very important. And the part about qualities is if we translate this into the this analogy, when we water something, then oftentimes you have not only the, like, yeah, so like here you have this advanced student. I think it's his fourth year in our classes, so he is quite he's already brought a new one. You know, I don't know, it's a son or a daughter. I don't know how they how they decide. So he brought some new people to to listen about Krishna. But here you see something grows which actually doesn't belong, and sometimes. And here something else grows, yeah. And when you grow, sometimes weeds grow, and sometimes these weeds they stifle the plant, or sometimes you mistake the plant and you water something wrong, some wrong plant, you know. So also in our heart. Not only bhakti grows, but also all the other things grow, which can be, which are described like other desires or pride. Pride can grow. I can think, oh, I'm such a nice devotee. Yes, and disrespect to other living entities, which is the other side of pride. You know, if I'm big, then therefore others are. I don't care. Yes. So these weeds are growing. So therefore, these qualities that we discussed before, they are basically safety for pulling out the weeds. So if we do bhakti properly, then we will do this in that manner. What we focus only on bhakti. That's the main thing. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. Durdaivam idrisham ihajani na anuraga. The holy name is so wonderful, but I'm unfortunately, because of my offenses, having no taste and attraction. So what to do? He says, kirtaniya sadahari. But that's not what, you know, the only thing you do. You always chant the names, but how? Trinadapi sunichana tarori vasahishnuna amanina manadena. Kirtaniya sadahari. So humbly, in a tolerant way, more tolerant than a tree. Yeah, you can see somebody cut him here, he didn't object. Somebody cut him there, he didn't object. And then sometimes the cook comes and pinches him and puts it in the curry. And the tree is happy. Okay, so that's my life. All right. So more tolerant than a tree. Not like tree, but more tolerant than a tree. That's how one should chant. And without pride and being ready to give all respect to others. So in such a way we water the seed of bhakti. In such a way we perform bhakti. So we have these qualities that you have all chosen. So please remember to practice them. This is to keep this heart farm clean and thriving and blossoming, prospering, you know, flourishing. But we do this for Krishna's pleasure, with happiness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. So we continue next Sunday, 12 o'clock. My humble obeisance.